Anyway, happy Father's Day, son.
Thank you, Papa.
How old are you now? 23? 24?
Old enough to be confused that you're my dad.
Well, time travels.
I'm older than
time you. Travels a bit. Just like your mom. No, no. You know what? That was said in character. Your mother is a lovely lady. She's a lovely person. Both your mothers, lovely people.
I mean, it's true. So I guess you win this round, Dad.
Anyway, what else would a deadbeat dad say to start?
Who are you?
I swear the check's in the mail.
Yeah.
I called you last year on your birthday, didn't I? Whatever.
Are you still with Tammy? Are you still with
That was great for her, Dad.
Are you still with Tammy, or is she seen anybody, or?
Because I'm with Tammy now.
The entirety of that was very upsetting.
This week, we couldn't come up with an intro. We're talking about deadbeat dads. It's a late Father's Day episode. Get it?
This may appear to be only monkey business, but in reality, it's very serious, ladies.
Zero Issues Comic Podcast. Zero Issues Comic Podcast.
Excelsior! All right, welcome to the show. Yeah, we took a week off last week because Dad didn't send his check for Father's Day.
I did see on his Instagram that he did lose a lot on the ponies.
The ponies.
Yeah, he's downloading those pony apps, and he has to buy all the brushes and the different sort of hair clips for the ponies.
Gonna make your own pony.
My Little Pony thing.
Right, it's the microtransactions, you know?
Right.
He's trying to make the perfect pony for us, his sons, which I appreciate. Frankly, a lovely father. A lovely podcast father.
And I think the perfect pony is already Fluttershy, so.
I mean, that's an opinion.
You can't improve on best.
Yeah.
Best in show.
Okay, I lied. Perfect pony's Pinkie Pie. Close second, Cheese Sandwich. The pony voiced by Weird Al.
Oh, well, that's automatically my favorite.
I don't even have an excuse for that. My kid is way too old for that.
No shame.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, it's fine. Anyway, news. And I'm Kyle.
Current Zero News Flash.
Ben Templesmith announced that he was returning with Warren Ellis to Image Comics to continue their book Fell, which I guess was abandoned for whatever reason a little while ago, however many years ago. Responses were mixed due to, and I never picked up on this. I hadn't actually heard this. Warren Ellis has multiple allegations of sexual harassment against him in the past year or so. It has come out.
Yeah.
The website, So Many of Us, has collected 62 experiences from over 100 different women calling for Ellis to take responsibility and address the issue. Apparently, and this is, we're recording on, what is it, Friday, May June 25th, July.
Yeah, and I 74th. Said July.
It is June 25th, and literally a couple of hours ago, this just came out. Warren Ellis reached out to So Many of Us, the website, as they offered a mediated dialogue. He professed that he's going to do all he can to no longer be part of the problem and is looking forward, like in whatever way this unfolds, of discussing things with them and addressing the issue. Image has also put out a statement literally in the past couple hours announcing it never intended for Fell to be announced, and that they will not be working with Ellis on this or anything further.
It must be noted, though, these are very recent developments at the time of recording, so this news kind of broke over the last couple of days. I mean, obviously, this was this came out initially, that website, somanyofus.com. At the time, I think it was like 60 women and non-binary individuals had come forward, and I guess there's been more since then. And that was like July 2020. He had a few projects canceled, I believe. He was still, like, writing the Castlevania show for Netflix, which ended after the season. It still came out, obviously, because it was already, well in production or almost finished. So, I mean, but it did end after that point. more recently in the last couple of days, Image did make a statement where they're basically talking about acknowledging that the comic was coming or something, I think a day or two ago, and obviously have reversed course a little bit because there was a fair amount of outcry after that. And at the time, so many of us, they did put out a statement basically saying, in response to him, you know, putting out more work, that saying that, like, specifically they do not want to cancel him, but to use the situation to constructively address the common issue of powerful men's abusive behavior. That's sort of partial quote, partial paraphrase, just in my notes. So I think the whole idea is, like, they had basically wanted to work with him to sort of kind of come to some sort of, like, restorative justice for this situation.
Right, and, right.
Like,
but he had to be on the same page.
Exactly. And yeah. And for the past year, you know, he did put out a statement at first saying he was going to, like, try therapy, and he said he was sorry and he didn't see himself as being a powerful man, which is, I mean, the career you've had, I mean, I that doesn't hold a lot of water. But that was like a year ago. And allegedly he hadn't reached out or made any steps since then. So, I mean, it is good if he is now, you know, so we'll see how that goes. I mean, I believe in, you know, believe in being able to, like, redeem yourself and grow as a person. And yep. Hopefully he's serious about that.
And really, like, I got to say, I didn't really know anything about this. I had not caught this in the news. Yeah. So I have no idea what steps he's already taken. So I don't want to say that he hasn't taken any steps,
yeah.
Not to apologize for him or anything, like, whatever he's done.
Right.
Like, with that, especially with that many allegations, something needs to be done.
I think the main sticking...
I have no clue what's happened on his end.
The main sticking point, in my understanding, which could be very wrong, because I don't really know anything firsthand, but that they wanted him to deal with them and make it right with them and actually work with them in order to sort of address this yeah. problem in a wider scale, like, using this as an opportunity to really address this problem, and he hadn't. As far as they said. So if he is now, that's great. You know, hopefully it's coming from a genuine place. Yeah, but I mean, you know, I don't know what's happened over the past year with him, obviously. Yeah. So
anyways,
yeah.
On to happier things.
Frivolity, maybe.
This costume.
We got two Spider-Men to talk about, but we'll start with our dear friend Miles Morales.
All right, Miles Morales apparently is celebrating a 10th anniversary, which is weird because in my head I thought he'd been around a little bit longer, but I guess it's only been 10 years, so good for him for that character being around. But apparently for the 10th anniversary, he's getting a new costume, and we've shared it amongst ourselves already. We will put it up on our, like, Facebook and Instagram and stuff. Before this episode, so check it out. Take a look for yourself. And again, I've only seen
parse it.
I've only seen this one image of it. So partially, like, it's art. So it's how somebody has depicted it. Partially, I think it's the costume design, and then it's also the depiction is a little weird. I'm having trouble wrapping my head around it. It looks like a tracksuit, like sweatpants kind of thing, and possibly we've been discussing whether that's a crop top, sweat top kind of thing, and whether, like, he's yeah. wearing his own costume underneath, and then this over top, but then the hands,
how would
the gloves,
he how would
whatever.
He wear that underneath something else, like a superhero?
Yeah,
does.
Like, how do you? That's not a quick throw on and
there's
go
a
save
reason.
Somebody.
There's a
that's
reason,
like,
that spandex is a go-to, especially I would say if you're a Spider-Man, because yeah. you got a. You know, you're an everyman person. You just got to get rid of the clothes, web them up, and be ready to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not going to be able to do a good job of visually or of explaining the visuals of this costume. It must be seen to be believed.
It's very... Yeah.
He does have runners on. He's got sneakers, mm-hmm. like high-top sneakers. Mm-hmm. He looks like the same sort of, like, spandexy mask that he's got, but then there's, like, this turtleneck tube mask that comes up from the bottom to about the nose.
Yeah.
So it almost looks like a COVID mask. And it looks like a weird thing, like, where you're wearing a full mask, but then I have another mask over top of it, and it looks loose.
I mean, if anything, it's more of a neck gaiter, which is the shitty COVID mask.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody exactly. knows by now that doesn't count.
I just want to mention the backpack, or if that's what it is, I don't know what it is.
I don't think it is. That's the thing that is getting me about the design. I keep being drawn to the drawstrings in the front. Like, it looks like a crop top, but it looks like a real big parachute thing.
But if you look along the other side, it's tight to his body, and that's not how that would go. It looks like he's got a garbage bag. He's like garbage bag Santa.
Well, he's in motion, though, so, like, maybe it's, like, blowing behind him because he's swinging. It's, like, that's where it's hard to tell. And, like, I can't get over the sleeves that go into the gloves. Yeah. Like, you have to, like...
When it's that, and then, like, to help describe this, if you can't see it, like, it's like somebody wearing a big sweatshirt and the forearm part of the sleeve is really loose. And then it tightens up to the gloves.
Yeah.
So it's like billowy, almost like it's a pirate. Yeah,
he's got he's got Popeye arms.
Yeah. And it looks like it's trying to be depicted as if, like, I'm in motion and I'm swinging and this is caught in the air. But then, like, the pants are like just semi-loose sweatpants, which I hate sweatpants. I have a thing against sweatpants. It just looks like you've given up on the world. And I'm gone to sweatpants now.
And okay. How?
We're done. We're done. All
right. You wearing sweatpants right now?
I'm wearing shorts.
I'm wearing no pants at all.
Feels like I'm wearing nothing at all. Nothing at all. Nothing at all.
Stupid sexy merc. Expect that. That's Hey-o! What we do here. I mean, like, I don't mind the tracksuit look. I mean, I think it's, like, again, Iron Fist had that kind of recently, like a tracksuit kind of a look, like a Bruce Lee kind of a look. I like that, and I feel like a tracksuit kind of a street clothes look isn't a bad idea, especially for, like, Miles, especially post-Spider-Verse, but this is, like, I don't know what this is. I like the black kind of stripe along the pants that has, like, the red webbing on it. I do like that. The shoes... I don't know what's up with those. They're like weird, chunky, like sci-fi sneakers, and it's like,
and they have zippers.
And they have zippers. It's weird.
Look,
and,
I'm not a cool kid. I'm not a cool kid.
Yeah,
but I don't think zippers are cool, are they?
I don't know about that.
And as we discussed this, we discussed it a little bit at the start before we were recording, and Kyle did ask about white socks.
Mm-hmm. Because the only other white on the costume is also on the shoe. So, like, every other part of the costume is red and black, which that works. Those are Miles's colors.
Yeah.
And I get it with the shoes. I don't get it with him wearing white socks.
Yeah, I'll have to see, like, the whole, like, other depictions of it.
Yeah.
It could be just the way that this artist has decided to do it, who I can't even tell. It looks like the signature is TC. I'm not sure who that is.
Yeah.
It's totally cool.
Total apologies to the artist. I wish...
I don't care for the design. The art itself is quite nice. Yeah. But the, you know, I'm not, like, super into the design. But, I mean, you know...
But then it's, like, just how that gets depicted. Like, there's a lot of billowiness, and that can come across weird.
Yeah.
So, who knows? Like, it might look totally different when somebody else does it, so...
Yeah. It might look really cool. It might look better than his existing costume, which... I don't think it will.
No. I found it funny, though. They have, like, a logo for the 10 years of Miles Morales' logo, and it has his, you know, regular costume in there. And I'm like, yeah, because that's what...
Yeah.
That's his costume that everyone likes.
it's kind of funny, because, like the original Spider-Man costume, like, it had some minor updates when it went to other artists, but it's, you know, it stayed remarkably consistent, because they kind of nailed it the first time. And... Thank you, motorcycles. And the same is true with Miles's costume, where it was like, no, you got it right the first time. Don't mess with it.
Yeah,
exactly.
And every time they try, it's silly.
Who knows? With that 10-year logo, that could be the sign of, like, here is his temporary costume, but you know, we all know he's going to go back to that.
Very possibly. I got other Spider-Man news if we want to talk about a different Spider-Man, but not the one you're thinking. Because guess what, friends? I'm very excited about this. Me and me alone. Well, maybe other people too. So Nick Spencer has been the writer on The Amazing Spider-Man for a bit now. So his run is ending with, I think, number 74, which is probably coming out, I don't know when, like, you know, fall or something like that. I should know this. This is the news. But with issue number 75, they're kicking off a new run, which actually has... they're putting out three times a month again, much like they did during, like, Brand New Day, and they have, like, a writer team. kind of like a brain trust, whatever. So you have like multiple writers who are writing the comic, and they might switch off and kind of plot everything together. So you got Kelly Thompson, Saladin Ahmed, Cody Ziegler, Patrick Gleason, who is an artist by trade and has been drawing Spider-Man, and actually has drawn a lot of the teaser images for this new run, so he might be one of the artists too, and Zeb Wells. And it involves however things end in the Nick Spencer run, I don't know. There's a teaser showing a pretty beat up and or dead looking Peter Parker in his costume with Mary Jane with him. But all we know is that this series is going to feature Ben Reilly as Spider-Man again, wearing a costume. It's not the exact same, but it's very similar to like the costume he wore in the 90s.
Yeah, it's pretty close. It's pretty close.
Yeah, a little tweaked version called Spider-Man Beyond, and apparently will also involve the Beyond Corporation from Next Wave, which is. All right. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, so, all right. So I guess
full circle news. Wow.
Yeah, really. So yeah, basically what happens, like he comes back, so he's Peter's grappling with his failure as a hero, apparently to the point he's willing to cede the mantle back to his clone. This is an IGN thing. We don't really know any plot details. This might be speculation. But basically, Ben is taking over the role of Spider-Man again, and he's trying to prove himself as the greatest Spider-Man of them all. And apparently the Beyond Corporation might be backing him, etc. Which feels a little, I'm going to be the best Spider-Man, feels a little superior Spider-Man in a way. And also, end the same way. I hope it doesn't. I like Ben. I'm a big fan of Ben Reilly. I feel like they brought him back and made him a villain, and I'm kind of just didn't know what to do with him after that point. So I'm hoping they do something good with him here. But yeah, that's happening with Amazing Spider-Man number 75, and we don't know much else. But Ben Reilly means happy bride.
Well, I'm happy for you.
Aw.
Welcome to the warm-up!
Okay, so for warm-up, I had a totally different idea of what I was going to do. So my original idea was going to be which theme song is better and why. And we were going to have a debate whether the 60s Spidey animated theme song or the Batman 60s theme song was better. And so we were going to kind of have questions of, like, in certain situations, which one would work better? If you're going for a run, which one would you play? Mm-hmm. If you're running for your life, which one would you play? If you're having sexy time and you're a weirdo and you needed that in the background, which one would you play?
You sync them up and play both at the same time. What?
That explains a lot. Mm. But one of the ideas that I had was, like, which one has the best line of covers? Of other people doing renditions of that song. And really, all in my head that was sticking there was the Ramones version of the Spider-Man.
All time. Right.
Which I'm like, that hands down is so good. It's amazing. And I'm like, nothing's going to touch that.
Years ago, and we so established it's the best Spider-Man song of all time.
I think we did.
We established it.
it's canon.
We did. I remember.
So I started looking into it, and there's... I thought, okay, there might be a few of other ones of the Spider-Man and a few of the Batman, but there's really, in terms of, like, bigger names, like, obviously, whoever, there's been tons of, like, YouTube people who have, like, redone it or whatever.
Yeah.
But not a lot of big names have redone the Spider-Man one, other than there's, like, the Ramones, the Mr. T Experience, Michael Bublé, of course, Aerosmith for, what was that, Amazing Spider-Man 2 or something?
I have no idea.
It's horrible.
It's awful. He pants in a creepy way throughout it. It's a very bad time.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
But then I started looking up who's redone the Batman 60s theme song and came across some gems, and I had to share them. So I've put together a little medley, and we can listen to it in real time, and we can all listen to it, and we'll walk through it, and you are going to be surprised, I guarantee, because I was pretty surprised. Yeah. It starts off with the original, just so we can hear and absorb the gloriousness that is the original. So shall we begin?
We shall.
Yes.
Yes.
So, fantastic.
It's Batman.
We all love it. Everybody loves this song.
Batman.
Everybody loves it.
We weren't even, like, we could have been
but
talking
coming up
over
next,
this,
listen to the lyrics. Listen to the lyrics. Coming up. Listen.
I don't know who he is behind that mask, but we need him.
What?
And we need him now.
Who? What?
Don't know who he is, we need him now.
That was Jan and Dean, who were... And then now this is the Ventures, who is like the like California surf stuff. So
yeah.
Which yeah. This actually works.
Oh
this
yeah,
this totally fits.
Yeah, that's perfect. I'm like,
and then there's some really
Gotham
really
in California. Like that's the only place it could be.
Really big names do this. So coming up next,
yeah.
This version is only a live version.
Okay.
This is the Kinks.
Nice.
But the weird thing about this song is that is there's no lyrics really, other than like
yeah.
So it's just whereas you'd think Spider-Man has lyrics and it would be much more the one that people would go to for a cover. So here's another big name. This is the Who.
Oh.
Oh.
But then after this is where it starts to get weird. This is John Zorn, who, if you don't know John Zorn, he's like a jazz kind of experimental guy. But the next one, I'll give you $10 if you can tell me who does the next one.
Oh boy. John
Zorn. And or
John Zorn.
Where it's from.
John Jones' cousin.
But coming up on this next one.
Some funky Martian beats. This just sounds like the Ninja Turtles arcade music.
That's
it kind of does, yeah.
Yeah.
But I will totally give you guys $10 if you could tell me who this next one is. And where it's from.
I'm digging all the takes.
Any idea?
No. Do I have to give you $10?
Yes. Yes.
What is it?
I'll tell you at the end. Next, we got another one coming up. From 1998, Well-Paid Scientist. So it's like 90s rave stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, was this in a Wipeout game? Or one of the later Twisted Metals?
Twisted Metals.
Just Val Kilmer with glow sticks in full costume, just going for it.
As only Kilmer can.
Yeah.
But listen to the lyrics coming up. We go back to the Jan and Dean one. Listen to the lyrics.
Criminals are a superstitious, cowardly lot.
Oh.
So my disguise must be able to strike terror into their heart.
I mean, yeah.
I could write this song.
Just...
And there we go.
There we go. Okay.
My parents died
that,
and I
that
became
mystery.
A rich boy and I traveled the world and I'm blue.
I think you've got a hit on your hands.
What is the mystery one?
So the mystery one is the title of the song is actually called Winged Mammal Theme.
Winged Mammal Theme. I mean...
So...
A bat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bat theme, winged mammal theme. And it's on the B side of the release. It was originally supposed to be, it was written for Batman Returns, but it never got into Batman Returns. So it was put on to the B side of the A side of a song. It's called Drive by REM.
Really?
Yeah. Ooh. I was like,
all right.
And that's where we end the warm up. He goes, "Who?" and just end it.
I didn't say who. I said Aru.
I heard
Nixon or also Scooby Doo.
Or Tim Allen.
Or Tim Allen, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or a weird hybrid of all three. They shoved them all in like the fly machine and that's what you get.
Just want to put out there, should we do another music episode? We haven't done one literally in years. The last time I think we did one was at my old house, and we had Kay Preston Merkley with us. And we
Ocean City Defender.
Ocean City Defender, who does all our music. And we had all four of us were sitting in the studio upstairs in that tiny, tiny
room.
And
it was probably the middle of the summer and it was swelteringly hot.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But
as opposed to your current studio, which is nice and cool.
Yeah, really. Yeah. Anyone listening, if you want us to do a music episode, if you've got some ideas for us, some songs that have comic stuff in it, some comic stuff that has songs in it, like whatever, crossover kind of things, let us know. And we'll start stockpiling and we'll do a music episode later on.
Sounds great. It's overdue.
What the f***?
Hey, welcome to the main topic for this week, which is, in honor of Father's Day being last week, about deadbeat dads.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
In comics, not just deadbeat dads in general.
Now, what makes a deadbeat dad?
Yeah, that was my first question.
Because the initial like definition was just like, you know, a male parental figure who is separated from the other partner who isn't paying court-ordered child support. Which, that's kind of a low bar.
I think that's the
entrance
point.
Yeah, there's a lot of other stuff.
And then there's more you can go on beyond that, yeah.
It's like neglectful, it's not as a person in the child's life. And you know, this is an episode about deadbeat dads. There are also deadbeat moms, and we went with it because it was Father's Day.
Yeah.
I just want to get out in front of that.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Like, Mystique is definitely a deadbeat mom. And was originally a deadbeat dad, but then Marvel kiboshed that idea, and, you know, the rest is history.
There's these weird bits of, like, is it deadbeat or is it abusive? And then there's, like, do you differentiate? Can an abusive one still be deadbeat?
Yeah, because they're giving extra attention.
Well, it's like, bad. They're involved in the... I feel like deadbeat kind of has a tone of, like, you've given up, relinquished any connection.
Yeah,
it's extreme
neglecting
neglect.
All responsibilities.
Yeah,
but I do have a list of a few, and I was like, some of those kind of waver back and forth, mm-hmm. and we can talk about what we think. But.
Sometimes someone's just a real shitbag all around.
Okay, can we start off with Cyclops?
Oh
yeah, he's on the list.
he's on the list.
Well, it's interesting with him because like he made a really he made a big call very early in his child's life. And that has affected that child well past adulthood, some would say.
But he's tried to
other realities.
Yes.
Yeah, really.
He's felt bad about that decision since, and he's tried to make amends, but, like, nothing is ever going to change the fact that he bailed on his family.
It's true.
So, yeah, if you're not familiar with it, I actually just read this, when I've been talking about reading old X-Men comics, and I just went through this part. It's during the Inferno, kind of pre-Inferno and leading up to Inferno Saga.
It would have to be pre-Inferno.
Well, yeah, definitely.
What made Madeline Pryor so mad? Oh!
Exactly. So Madeline Pryor, who really, it was created as kind of a doppelganger of Jean Grey, who everybody thought Jean Grey was dead. Then Cyclops encounters her, and it was planned that the two of them would meet by Mr. Sinister. They meet, and they fall madly in love. They eventually have a child, who is Nathan, who is Cable. But at a certain point, Jean Grey just re-enters the picture and drops Madeline like a hot sack of really hot potatoes.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
The sack of potatoes is very hot. It was left out in the sun.
Yeah, very warm potatoes.
You can't do that anymore. Gene was just...
And the sack of potatoes is shaped like a beautiful lady. It's hot in both ways. Also, it's covered in spices.
Yep.
It's hot in three ways.
It's like tater tots, but better.
Jean, as I recall, was just having a nap in the bottom of a lake, right? So she just,
something like that.
Oh, well, I'm just going to swim up to the top.
I'm just going to cocoon. Yeah.
And break up a family.
Yeah. I think she was in Montego Bay.
It did get a little more complicated, though, because, obviously, Madeline Pryor turned out to be a clone, right, obviously, of Jean Grey, and then went very bad. And it's a little complicated even for Cyclops because he did technically raise Nate time traveling into other bodies in the adventure for their adventures or Adventures of Cyclops and Phoenix, I believe.
That was
Slim and
that was
Red.
Done later.
But he still full on abandoned his family.
There's that, and then there's also the fact he, not to make excuses for Scott, but at the same time, he at certain point thought that Madeline and Nathan were dead.
Yeah.
Because she was with the Uncanny X-Men at the time while he was with X-Factor, and that was the point, kind of pre-Siege Perilous kind of thing, like they were Australian, the Aussie Outback
right.
X-Men, and everybody thought they died battling the adversary, and everybody saw it on TV. They were like, oh, they're all dead. They're gone. So he did think that she was dead. So it's not totally horrible, but it's pretty horrible.
Well, keeping in mind that, like, literally he saw Jean, or what he thought to be Jean, get atomized and she came back, maybe look into it, Scott. Maybe make sure.
Yeah. You could have looked a little harder, yeah.
Yeah. You're an X-Man, for God's sake. Nobody is dead. Just why would you accept that automatically?
Well, because so it was convenient.
Yeah.
So I guess this means that Scott wasn't sent in child support. So
no, well, he didn't have a job.
So he's well, that's true.
And
he got X Factor at that time. So
that's true.
If he made
but
money,
that was
at any
all
point,
under the table.
It would have been that.
That,
point.
that was not on the up and up.
That
he was
not
filing his taxes.
It's not his money. It's either Warren or Cameron Hodges' money. So I mean, like,
yeah.
Okay, who else? Springs to mind?
We're talking about Cyclops. Let's talk about somebody very close to Cyclops, but his space daddy Corsair, who probably could have come back to Earth at some point. He was a space-faring pirate. They literally pushed their kids out of the plane to save their lives with a parachute.
With a parachute.
Dude could have checked
one
in.
One parachute.
Dude
could have
checked in.
Yeah, but they were kids. Kids don't weigh that much.
Just go limp, Scott!
His nickname was Slim. Alex's nickname was not Chunky Boy.
But
no,
it is now.
He's going to bounce. Yeah.
It was Pudge, yeah.
Slim, try to land on Chunky Boy! Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to steer this plane into a cliff.
I'm going to fuck this squirrel.
It's a skunk. It's a skunk.
Okay, sorry. I'm gonna do a reverse Pepe Le Pew.
So there's not only those two children, but he turns out he had a couple of other kids potentially. I mean, well, hold on. Vulcan his kid?
Vulcan
or was that
was
like,
older, wasn't he?
No, but was that actually his, or was that like, I don't know. That was a whole situation.
No,
it's unpleasant to talk about.
Keep talking. I'll find out about Vulcan.
Yeah, but also I think they revealed that Adam X, the Extreme, more recently, is a Summers brother, or is related to Scott.
Really?
Yeah. They're doing, like, the X-Men, I forget what it is, it's, like, kind of an anthology book where teams are, like, writing stories from different periods of the X-Men's history. I forget what it's called. X-Men, I want to say X-Men Forever, but I feel like that's something else.
It's called What I Did Last Summer.
Yeah. So they did reveal that, but, you know, there's always these situations. He's in space, and there's clones, and there's all sorts of nonsense. So I don't know what the real story there is.
So Catherine Summers was pregnant with Vulcan when they were abducted.
So, yes, that is.
So he's the younger one. Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, did he know about that situation? I don't know. But you know what? He's still got a responsibility. He doesn't check in. He just wants to wear his pirate outfit and his headband and have a great time while all of his kids are horribly traumatized.
And these are the comics that I just read. He even, when he shows up again and gets kind of reintroduced into Scott's life, Scott and Alex's life, he's like, I'm going to go back into space. So, see
you guys, you seem well adjusted.
Yeah, you're fine without me. You're good. You're good.
They're not doing good.
You're good with that Charlie guy. You're fine. Mm-mm. He seems like a good dad.
Yeah, he wouldn't abandon a child either.
No. He wouldn't put you in danger or lead you astray.
No.
Do anything.
He wouldn't turn you into a child soldier and then just, refuse to take responsibility for, you know what, maybe Scott should have killed him.
Well, I mean, he did.
He did! And he's back now. Everything's fine.
Yeah, everything is forgiven, and everyone's immortal, and everyone's happy. And yeah, they live on the moon.
That's true.
All right, who else? Who else? Should we stick with X-Men? Because I have one X-Men we can
There's
go to.
There's so well, many
okay,
X-Men.
I have an argument to make. I have an argument to make when it comes to the X-Men. Sure. Does it count if you don't know that the kid exists?
There's that.
That's true.
Because Colossus didn't know, Wolverine didn't know, he also adopted that other kid and just left her places, but, you know, that listen to episode 270-something for that one.
Sometimes you lose a kid.
Well, and this is the thing, I was thinking the same thing, and because I thought about Colossus, but Colossus didn't know, and that's one child.
And then he was lied to later and told, no, that's somebody else's.
Yeah.
Are you sure? Because he's turning to steel.
His name is Peter.
When we go to Logan, I think when we go to Logan, it becomes a different thing. Because he has numerous children.
Yeah, he killed a bunch of them.
And he killed a bunch of them. They actually, like,
they made a team. They made a team.
Yeah.
I know. What is it? The Mongrels.
The Mongrels. Oh.
Sorry, I'll just name them off. Gunhawk, Fire Knives, Shadow Stalker, Cannon Foot, and Jaw Fist.
Jawfist,
I love those names.
What is Jawfist?
I don't know.
What are fire knives?
It's Trapjaw.
What are fire knives if not hot claws? They're back!
Yep.
Yeah, he did murder them and then found out they were his children. So that's a rough time.
If you could leave that motorcycle revving in there, because you did say hot claws and there was immediate motorcycle revving.
I will, yes.
To go back to the point of Wolverine. That,
please.
Like, I think that it's different than Peter, because it's like Peter had the one he didn't know.
Oh, because he's a soft boy.
He was told no, and that was it. Wolverine is like spreading his seed like a dandelion and just not paying attention. That has its own kind of deadbeat dadness to it, I think. Mm.
Wrap it up, Wolverine. I mean, he probably can't get a vasectomy because it would just heal, I guess, but...
Yeah, that's true.
Well, unless he had already gotten a vasectomy pre-healing factor.
So we would have had to have had it done as a child.
Sorry,
in the
1800s.
As a child,
this?
Yeah.
Have we? There's a song
at
about it, right?
Yeah, I remember I played it for you, I think. He couldn't circumcise the Wolverine, and as I recall, neither of you cared for it.
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
Insert! This is the song, Circumcising Wolverine, by Zach Sherwin. A small amount, just so you know what we're talking about.
Look, I don't want to be obscene, but you can't circumcise the Wolverine. If you cut him, he'll heal back pristine. You can't circumcise the Wolverine, no. Even if your blade is keen, he's a foreskin regrowth machine. And trying to keep my inbox clean feels just like circumcising Wolverine.
Let's change gears.
Please.
What about Odin? Odin.
Ooh, yeah, he's a bad...
The father of Thor. He's strict, he's distant, a bit layered in like riddles.
He's a king.
Like,
yeah.
Is he a deadbeat deity dad?
I don't think so. Not technically, because he is present. He's not a good father.
Yeah, he's
But then
he's,
this
well,
is
no,
get into
he's
that
no,
gray area.
I mean, he's no Loki.
He does sometimes banish his sons, though. He does do that sometimes. But they're like adults at that point, so it's really just like kicking, you know, your pain in the ass kid, like, go to Earth for a while and, like, grow up.
Yeah, I mean, in the same way, didn't Lord and our God do the same?
Listen, that's true.
Read Welcome to Hereafter at welcometohereafter.com to find out.
I got nothing to say at the end of the episode, so hi, I'm Brock Hoddick. That's it. That's the end of me. No more talking.
But, okay, let me flip that and then say, not from Thor's perspective, from Loki's perspective,
yeah,
is Odin more of a deadbeat dad?
Well, what about his other dad?
Oh, there's that. Yeah.
That's true. I mean, he was sort of technically kidnapped, I guess. So that's kind of a unique situation.
Yeah, true.
So
was he kidnapped or was he traded?
He's spoils of war.
Like Mr. Miracle and Orion.
I got him on the list
because
too.
I would say.
Yeah.
In terms of that, Darkseid, not necessarily a deadbeat dad. Fucking Highfather?
100%.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be the good guy, and you're like, yeah, I'll give my kid away, and he'll be in space jail forever. Until he
you're gonna go straight to hell.
Escaping powers.
Yes. Yeah. So like torturous conditions. Yeah, that's fine. I don't care for Scott. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, like, definitely, you know, Darkseid is probably a worse father to have if you are present in their life. But willfully giving your own son to Darkseid is about that's messed up on a whole other level. Yeah, there's an argument.
Yeah.
Maybe he just assumed that Scott would die.
How is that? Okay.
Well, he wouldn't be suffering then.
You know, while
or just get free according to his name.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta get.
I'm going to name you. I mean, if you name them like a quirky name, would they get powers associated with that name?
Yeah.
It's possible.
Scott Free Popsicles. That's what
Ooh,
we call them.
Ooh, I could go.
And he turned out to be Popsicle Pete.
While we're sort of on the topic of villains, I gotta bring up something I wasn't even aware of until I did research for this. And I know a fair bit about Superman and Lex Luthor and all that. I'm a fan. I didn't really know that Lex Luthor has a daughter.
A daughter?
Or maybe had. We'll get to that. A daughter named Lena, named after his sister, who he had with somebody called Contessa Erica Alexandra Della Portenza. So, you know, they met at the coffee.
Sounds made up.
They met at the coffee shop in Smallville, obviously. Mm. Anyway.
They met at work. Yeah.
So he, I guess, was in a relationship with this Contessa. She became pregnant. So Lex Luthor what did he do? He kept her sedated during childbirth and after.
And he's a nice, after.
He's a great dude. Yeah. So then he had a daughter named Lena. So at one point, I believe she, you know, came out of sedation, took her daughter back, went to her home in like some, you know, some island that she lived on, and then he had it bombed. So she, I'm assuming the mother is dead, but who knows in comics. And then he got Lena back and promptly traded Lena to Brainiac 13, which is like a future version of Brainiac, in order to get like some of his future technology. And then at some point, Lena was aged up to a teenager who wanted to, like, get revenge, I guess, against Brainiac and her father, but was de-aged back into a baby, at which point she was never seen again. I think, like, willfully deadbeat, because he went out of his way to have this daughter and then just said, like, oh, I want some of that future technology, take the baby! And, neglected that baby, I'm assuming, to
You
death.
Know what?
A baby's not going to make him on her own.
I think he may have consulted Highfather on, like, what do you do with a kid? Maybe just trade him off.
You just trade them. Yeah. They're like
they're
pogs
like cards.
Or cards.
Yeah. They're like Bitcoin. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And much like Bitcoin, apparently this baby does not actually exist anymore. I don't know. There's been 17 reboots since then, so,
Yeah. And with comics, that happens. In like when I was looking this stuff up, I found a couple that were like that. I found out Galactus has a daughter.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
But she was only ever in one little series by Adam Warren and Hector Sevilla.
Yeah, we've talked
Galacta,
about her.
Daughter of Galactus.
She's a blogger and she's a foodie.
And she was his teen daughter, and she thought she had to eat stuff because she had some sort of cosmic tapeworm, but then she finally met her dad, and it turns out it wasn't a cosmic tapeworm. She was pregnant.
Okay.
His teen daughter, you say?
His teen daughter. So my question is, who's the mom and how?
Well, she's the mom.
Well, the mom of the teen daughter.
I see. Who did Galactus?
Who's her mom?
Right.
Galactus's. So Galactus actually, like, I don't know if he knew about her or didn't know about her, what Galactus tells her, like, oh, that's not a tapeworm, as all good fathers do. Kyle, I'm sure you've had that discussion as well.
No, I've never had to tell my teen daughter that it's not a tapeworm and that she's pregnant, but thank you.
Yeah, well, hopefully you'll never have to get to that stage. I hope she's standing right there.
No, she's at work.
Oh, okay, all right.
Somehow she knows, and she's not happy.
Yeah, suddenly, just as she's, like, scanning some, you know, customer's stuff, boop, boop, beep, huh, I'm mad at my dad all of a sudden. Well, nothing's changed there. Same feeling I get all...
Same as always. So Galactus tells her, no, it's not a tapeworm, you're pregnant. And he feeds her. And I guess apparently she doesn't consume planets like him, but consumes the bioforce of dangerous viruses, is the way it was listed. Whatever that means.
Where the hell is she now?
Exactly. She's never popped up ever since. So what happened to the kid? What happened to her? So Galactus has a grandchild somewhere, perhaps?
Well, I mean, Galactus is billions of years old.
Yeah.
Is she also gigantic? Is she just going to, like, a high school in, like, New Jersey, and she's, like, you know, like, 100 feet tall?
I think she's person-sized. She seemed like she was just a regular, looked like she was a regular human.
She's just your regular teenage girl.
But she's got the big helmet, though. The helmet is genetic.
She does.
She does have the big helmet.
It's glorious.
It's like, you're my dad? It's like,
the resemblance is uncanny.
Look in a mirror sometime.
It's like from that MODOK show.
Yeah.
Which I have watched the first couple episodes of now.
All right. Yeah. And we'll talk about probably next week.
Mm-hmm. If we're on a villain streak, I mean, like, Magneto, we already talked about X people, but Magneto is, I think he qualifies. He managed to be in his children's lives and also be a deadbeat dad at the same time. Because he had them in the brother, Wanda and Pietro. I don't care what canon is right now. They're his kids and they will be again soon. Don't even worry about it. But,
I'm not, but okay.
Yeah, so he recruited them into the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants. But they were his kids, but they didn't know they were his kids. But I think he knew. And he was also, like, really abusive to them. So that's...
Yes. So then that gets into that weird area of, like, is that deadbeat dad-ish?
It is. It's both.
Well, then there's also Polaris, who he just completely ignored.
Yes, exactly. Polaris. And
is that an actual thing? I never understood that.
That's a thing.
There was an affair with some lady, I have no... Mrs. Polaris, I have no idea. Mrs. Dane,
Mrs.
I assume.
Polaris.
Lorna Dane. So, yeah.
Molly Magnet.
Polaris.
Donna Polaris, yes, great. So, yeah, and he did try to use her as a weapon at some point, I believe knowing that she was his daughter and just wouldn't acknowledge it. She also had a sister named Zola Dane.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's a little shady. Like, we don't know for sure what the parentage is, but apparently, like, powers are similar, so it's very likely that she might be also Magneto's daughter.
Somewhat. She's, like, the one of the leaders of the Savage Land.
Yeah. And, so Magneto straight up killed her. So.
Yeah.
One, being a deadbeat dad, and also killing. And I feel like, you know what? I'm not giving you the Wolverine benefit of the doubt on this. I think he knew.
Yeah, really.
He's also, and he created at some point, he created using inhuman and deviant technology, created a being to be the ultimate mutant called Alpha. Not that one. No one remembers that one either.
I did.
Yes. He was mute and very destructive, and he basically manipulated him into, like, doing evil things until eventually I think Xavier convinced him, like, stop doing this. And he says, like, okay. So he just abandoned his plan, and then Alpha just took off to space, never to be seen again.
He went, I, Rangers.
Well, I mean, you know, this is the first Alpha. That's the fifth one he made.
That's fair. Now, what about Alpha 6? He had a cool Brooklyn accent.
That's true.
What a complete catastrophe stroke.
So,
hey, you're my dad.
Magneto has
Alpha,
a real
Alpha
habit
7's
of this.
From Chicago.
And he hates Alpha 6.
Mm-hmm. I would argue that with his combined history here.
And he hates the Knicks. Sorry.
Magneto might be the deadbeatiest of them all. That's just my opinion. I mean, there's other arguments.
Possibly.
There's you know, we could talk about Oliver Queen very quickly, but he's got a couple, you know. I mean, like, Roy is sort of his ward, I guess, but you can't deny that he was not there for him. Many times.
He wasn't. They mostly hung out in costume, and when they weren't, he was like, well, okay, do your thing. I'll see you later.
Enjoy your drugs.
And not to mention his actual child, Connor,
yes,
who recently showed up in Robin.
Ah, I'm so excited. I like Connor Hawke a lot.
And then he beat the shit out of Robin.
Good for him. Good for him. You're doing it, buddy. Good for you.
Good for you.
You're doing it, buddy.
They had a heart-to-heart talk, and then the guys were like, no, beat him up. And he was like, okay, I'll beat him up.
All right.
Sounds good to me.
Man, I've been kind of out of things.
Well,
for
you're
10
sort of like
years,
a father figure, and my actual father figure didn't give me any attention or affection, so you are. So I will do what you say.
Yeah.
That was me trying to bring it back.
Yeah. Why? There's so much of this. Why? Why?
Because
is
comic books are soap operas.
Well, that's true.
They're soap operas with powers. That's all it is.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
It reflects real life, and real life humans are shitty to humans.
That's true.
Yeah.
And I guess sometimes even heroes are kind of shitty dudes sometimes. We did just mention Ollie Queen. That's true.
Yep. Sometimes even heroes have bad goatees.
Yeah. And I like Ollie, but I shouldn't.
Yes. Yes. He performs Conolingus.
That's...
Oh, God.
He's not a hero.
Even Wolverine's mutant healing factor couldn't heal his heart.
Oh, that's true. Aw. Aw, diddums. Aw, snickety diddums.
Well, let's leave it on that maudlin note.
Yeah.
It's the zero issues guarantee.
Go think about that, fair listener. Who are we?
My name is Kyle Lees, and you can check my stuff out at thekylelees.com. I've got prints and t-shirts and...
You've got prints? He's dead, though.
Well, who do you think found his body?
Ooh.
It was me. No, it wasn't me. I just have pictures that you can buy. God, you totally derailed me. And also, there's a lawnmower going in the background. That's going to be a thing. Anyway, this is Bri.
Hi. Kyle already did my pitch. I'm Bri.
And this is Merc.
I'm Merc. You can find me at mercasylum.ca, MERKASYLUM.ca. Merc on Facebook, Mercanaut like astronaut on Instagram. I just added a bunch of stuff to my web store. I realized that I hadn't actually updated the store and gallery in a bit. So I was like, oh, you know what? Take some of these off, add a few on, put a few deals on. So yeah, lots to check out there.
Awesome.
Bri, do you want to go again?
No!
Okay.
I think you should.
Bri, I'm Bri Kotick. Welcome to hereafter.com. Bri Kotick, BRYKOTYK on Instagram and only Instagram. I love you.
Yay.
Also, big thanks, KP Merkley, Cal Preston Merkley.
Cal?
Cal?
Ken.
Ken. Jeez. Sorry. Ken. Preston Merkley is the name.
Merkley.
There can be only one K Merkley. They need to fight to the death.
That's right.
Yep.
Otherwise known as Ocean City Defender. He is the fellow that made all of the really good interstitial and theme music for this show. He does a lot of soundtrack work. He's got some albums. Go check him out at just look up Ocean City Defender, the musician, not the video game. If it's a one from 1987, that's probably the video game.
Well, he was probably around in 1987. So, I mean...
Yeah, yeah.
Probably.
But he probably wasn't making music.
No.
He was too busy playing those Nintendo Entertainment System games.
Maybe he bought a game at Zeller's. Oh.
And, just to throw this out, if you're looking to sponsor a podcast, we're always looking for stuff.
Yeah. We're a podcast!
Yeah, give us money. We're a podcast. You know, the last couple episodes, you can listen to some of the ads that we've done, and I think we've done some pretty good stuff.
We're having fun.
We
do a different sort of take than a lot of play. Like we throw a little creativity that way.
Yeah, definitely.
It's fun.
If you want your or your business's name being worked into that fun stuff, just reach out.
Yep.
You know
that's
how.
All right. So tune in next week when we're going to have a low key episode, I think.
Yes. I think it'll be a little bit more dark. Fuck. Yours worked and mine didn't. I'm sorry.
It'll be less Doc.
Doc from Punch Out?
Ah! All right. Play Punch Out.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Mwah.